Chapter 9. Soul. Nami. Nami likes the wind. It's soothing, beautiful, and faithful, if only to her. It is her, in a way nothing else can be. Completely natural as it sweeps through the veil's illusion to her true body underneath. It brings word of Vivi, laughing beautifully against the desert storms that sweep up sandstorms far less terrifying than the ones she saw with her friends. Crocodile had been wary of the demons hiding beneath their flesh. It tells tales of Nojiko, sitting by Belmare's grave with Genzo, excitedly telling their mother about all of Nami's adventures. It whispers that there's a storm ahead, and while the wind cannot contain its nature to revolt in every way, thrashing any ship over stormy waves, it is courteous enough to Nami to tell where it shall hurl its strength next. It's nice, her being with the wind, being able to navigate the world and know the air and sea as if it was her own heart and soul. And isn't it, in a way? On Kokoyashi, people like to assign themselves names for their nature. Genzo was a simple eudaimon, a protector spirit, and the doctor liked to call himself a salamander. Nami thought that with Genzo's pinwheel and Nako's flames, the two would make a great one yudo. Belmare herself liked to use the term succubus, though Nami only found out what it meant when her and Nojiko snuck into the island's only bar. Nami had always thought the whole thing was stupid. It offered a sense of self, but few of them really matched the descriptions of those legendary creatures told of in other blues. Perhaps due to the mixing of demon types, if one wanted to go to that route. And no, contrary to popular belief, she didn't just think this way because she and Nojiko didn't have anything to describe them beyond demon. Nojiko had beautiful crested scales and fins running along her back and consistently wet purple hair. Her eyes were large and absorbing, like the center of a sea king's eye. She was just as much a creature of the sea as Nami was a soul of the sky. The villagers didn't have a word for either of them, mostly on account of them being orphans. Wasn't it better to be free, unbound by any terms, free to be who she chose to be and look how she wanted to look? Wasn't it better to be like the wind, like herself? Arlong didn't think so. Thought they were even below humans when he found out the true nature of the East. She never noticed his trembles when she ventured too close to him. Stop, she instead told herself when she thought of the fishmen, and focused her thoughts on Luffy with jagged claws and horns and smile, who had taken down Arlong Park all for her and bit off half of the fishman's arm when no one was looking in the midst of the fight. His teeth, his jaws were stronger than the fishman's, after all. Think of your future king, your king of the pirates. Think of the crown of hellfire above his head, unholy and unspoken, save for but a few. Soon the world will know his crown, his rule, his might. Nami preferred to only have three terms to describe her, a title she claimed for herself, and two gifted lovingly to her. Navigator, my navigator, from Luffy. Nami, my Nami, from Belmare. Isn't it funny, her sister is of the waves, and yet Nami is named for them? And most importantly, wind. For that is what she is. Wild and free, unstoppable, and always knowledgeable of the best treasure hunts. Few souls dare to go against the wind, don't you know? The lights in the stormy night aren't always cracks of lightning or a helpful lighthouse. Often they are far, far worse than anything terrified sailors could imagine. And Nami, for all her good luck, is even worse than that.